Dr. Nyman Show. Today is Sunday, March 1st, 2020. There has been quite a lot of activity over the weekend with the coronavirus. Dr. Nyman has some updates he would like to share with our listeners. And it is now my pleasure to turn the call over to Dr. Nyman.
Thanks, Ryan. This evening, I really wanted to focus on activity in the United States related to an explosion of cases because essentially the limitations have been lifted and therefore additional cases can be tested even if they didn't come from China. And that has resulted in case after case yesterday and today. One piece of data that did come out this morning was the sequence from the high school student in Snohomish County. That sequence was very informative, and it really highlights the shortcomings of the testing and I guess evaluation of what the status of COVID is in the United States. That sequence indicates that COVID is widespread. It's been widespread. The attempts to do contact tracing were an abject failure. It gave the impression that there were a limited number of cases in the U.S., which was compounded by kits that were recalled, a lack of testing, and a lack of focus on the situation in the United States as opposed to screening of cases that were coming into the U.S. from China, which has pretty much put its own quarantine on, and has shut things down, and testing of evacuees. The testing of the actual cases in the U.S., which are clearly widespread now, was an embarrassment. I mean, the cases were exploding in Europe, in the Middle East, largely because of Italy and Iran. The number of cases we had in the U.S. from Italy or Iran was zero. That was because we were not testing for Europe or the Middle East. We were only testing for China, and it's not even clear how much testing was done for China. It was mostly looking at cases coming in. That gave a false sense of success and security. There were a few cases because there was not real testing for the cases. And that was highlighted by the sequence that was released this morning. The sequence of the high school student in Snohomish County actually matched the sequence of the first case in the United States, which was also in Snohomish County. But that was in mid-January. The match was very clear-cut. The first case that was in January was sequenced by the CDC. It was a lineage that was of significant interest because it included a mutation in the ORF8 gene. This particular lineage was found in several of the cases that came to the United States. However, the one in Snohomish County had a rare mutation in addition to the two mutations that defined that lineage. The original sequence was bolstered by cloning that was done by the CDC. They took the original virus and cloned it into a Vero cell line. That resulted in two clones that were sequenced and they were released. Those two clones were identical and they had three mutations, two that defined the lineage and the one that was rare but found in the original sequence for the Snohomish case. Those three polymorphisms that were present in that case were present in the 17-year-old community case, indicating that that virus, which arrived in mid-January, continued to circulate in Snohomish County and led to this one case. It's unclear if this same virus accounted for all or some of the cases in King County. King County has a large outbreak at a long-term care facility. There have been a healthcare worker and a resident that have already been confirmed at that facility. Those facilities used a hospital, Evergreen Hospital, which was the hospital that the fatal case was at. Right now, they're not linked other than the fact that patients from the long care facility and healthcare worker from the long care facility were at the same hospital that the fatal case was at. The more concerning was the fact that the long-term care facility has 108 residents and 180 healthcare workers, many of which are symptomatic. 52 of them are symptomatic, and they are in the process of being tested. The fact that the COVID was circulating at that long-term health facility was not known until this weekend. That is, again, because of the limitations. The long-term, the residents and the staff there did not have a travel history, and as such, they weren't eligible for testing. Once that eligibility requirement was lifted, testing began, and there were two positives, and now the other 52 are undergoing testing. The absence of knowledge that the virus was at that facility exposed first responders. There's videos of the first responders wheeling out one of the patients from the long-term care facility. They had minimal PPEs on. They had masks that covered their mouth and their nose. There was nothing covering their eyes. They had a gown on that was just like an apron. It was nothing with respect to shoes or eyes, or it was alarming. Those first responders are now under quarantine, and some have shown symptoms. The same type of deplorable infection control situation, because of a lack of knowledge that they had COVID cases, happened in Northern California. That the most glaring example was a case that was initially in Solano County. Her condition deteriorated, and she was transferred to UC Davis in Sacramento County. The initial request for testing was denied by the CDC. Subsequent testing was approved, and she was positive. Because she was positive, the healthcare workers at the original hospital in Solano County were exposed, and as were healthcare workers at UC Davis. Two of the healthcare workers in Solano County at the hospital have now tested positive tonight, and they represent yet another example of the dangers to the public as well as healthcare workers and first responders by denying testing and allowing these patients to be hospitalized throughout the country without the knowledge of the healthcare workers or the first responders. When the requirements were lifted, there was an explosion of cases. Not only were there cases in Washington State, Oregon, and California, but now there are cases on the East Coast, in Rhode Island and New York. These involved travel cases from Italy and Iran, who were the countries that were exporting cases to Europe and the Middle East. In addition, there was a couple in California from Egypt. Egypt apparently is also exporting cases, even though they only claim to have one positive. So there are individuals who are being exposed in Europe and the Middle East coming to the United States, and they didn't just start coming to the United States. They've been coming to the United States all along. None of them have been tested until this weekend. The lack of testing of people coming from regions which are overrun with virus and are exporting virus to almost every country in the Europe and the Middle East, which has been going on for a week, made it clear that those same locations would be exporting cases into the United States. They were exporting cases into Africa, into Algeria and Nigeria. They were exporting cases into Latin America, into Brazil and Ecuador and Mexico. They were exporting cases into Canada. So cases were coming in to the north of the United States, to the south of the United States, and throughout Europe. There were cases in Iceland. There were cases in Estonia. There were cases in Belarus. And there were zero cases in the United States because of a lack of testing. This failure to test and failure to detect was cited by the president as a great achievement, that he was going to have the number of cases in the U.S. down to one in the very near term. This reflected whatever you want to call it. The president clearly has no clue what he's doing or talking about. He's putting out misinformation and destroying any trust that anything that can be relied upon is coming out of the White House. He is clueless. And his team, he puts together a bunch of economic advisors, has a task force on coronaviruses. That's what they did in Japan that led to the Diamond Princess fiasco, where they were quarantining 3,700 passengers and crews on a ship that was overrun with the virus, leading to the incubation and spread of the virus to hundreds of passengers and crew, including about 60 U.S. citizens who are in hospitals in Japan now. So there's been a massive mishandling of this pandemic. It is a pandemic. Citizens in the U.S. are at high risk, regardless of the nonsense that's coming out of the CDC that says at this time. At this time, they are at high risk. And at this time, they don't know how high the risk is because the CDC failed to test. The country is overrun with virus. It's in all states. They have not tested. It is time to take the blinders off and look at reality. Moreover, they are also lying about the case fatality rate. The case fatality rate in SARS and MERS are based on pneumonia cases. The case fatality rate used to be based on pneumonia cases for the COVID cases, and that was changed. They took pneumonia out of the requirement, which lowered the case fatality rate down to 2%. It's really at 15% if you do an apples-to-apples comparison of the 10% in SARS or the 30% in MERS. this virus is more deadly than SARS, even though officials are going on TV saying it's one-fifth the fatality rate. It's not one-fifth. It's 150% higher. So the seriousness of the outbreak is being underplayed by flat-out lying about the case fatality rate when it's compared to SARS. SARS is 10. This virus is 15. It's 2% if you include the mild cases, which have a zero case fatality rate. If they don't have pneumonia, they're not going to die. They're not even going to go into the hospital normally. They're only going to go into the hospital for quarantine purposes and for possibilities that they're going to develop a more serious disease. For SARS, the cases that went in the hospital were pneumonia cases, which is also the same for MERS. And that's what the case fatality rate was based upon. The testing has begun. There's still kits that haven't been delivered. It will be theoretically delivered next week. And these additional kits to the various state healthcare offices will lead to an explosion of cases throughout the U.S. The virus is already here, putting up travel restrictions after the virus has come to the United States and is widely spreading is ludicrous. The resources should be for containment and mitigation. They're not going to stop the virus from coming in. The virus is already here. There is much more virus that is in the United States and spreading in the United States than is coming into the country. The effort is in the wrong places, focusing on the wrong people. The cases in the United States at this time are endangering healthcare workers, first responders, and the entire citizenship of the United States. It's time for the U.S. to wake up and zero in on where the virus is, not where the virus was.
All right. Thanks, Dr. Nyman, for the update. Listeners, please always go to our website, recombinomics.co, for latest information, as I always say. And we'll probably do some more updates tomorrow as the situation unfolds. Thank you, and everyone have a good night.